Trinadapi Sunichena Tsaroriva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Namai Bakivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a class on the book known as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are studying the prayers by the personified Vedas, which is chapter 87. Today's first reading is called The Definition of Falsity. The personified Vedas continued. The cosmic manifestation, because of the flickering nature of its impermanent existence, appears to less intelligent men to be false. Srila Prabhupada now says, the Mayavadi philosophers take advantage of the flickering nature of this cosmic manifestation to try to prove their thesis that this world is false. According to the Vedic version, before the creation, this world had no existence, and after dissolution, the world will no longer be manifested. Voidists also take advantage of this Vedic version and conclude that the cause of the material world is void. But the Vedic injunctions do not say that it is void. The Vedic injunctions define the source of creation and dissolution. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. He from whom this cosmic manifestation has emanated, and in whom, after annihilation, everything will merge. The same is explained in the Vedanta Sutra and in the first verse of the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam by the words, Janmadyasya Yata, he from whom all things emanate. All these Vedic injunctions indicate that the cosmic manifestation is due to the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead, and when it is dissolved, it merges into Him. The same principle is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Bhutani Kaunteya Prakritin Yanti Mamikam Kalpakshaye Pudastani Kalpadao Visrajam Yaham Prakriting Swam Avastabhya Visrajami Punat Puna Bhuta Gramam Imam Kritsnam Avashang Prakritir Vashat. The cosmic manifestation comes into existence and again dissolves, and after dissolution, it merges into the existence of the Supreme Lord. This statement definitely confirms that the particular energy known as Bahiranga Maya, or the external energy, although of flickering nature, is the energy of the Supreme Lord, and as such, it cannot be false. It simply appears false. the Mayavadi philosophers conclude that because the material nature has no existence in the beginning and is non-existent after dissolution, it is false. But by the example of the earthen pots and dishes, the Vedic version is presented. Although the existence of the particular byproducts of the Absolute Truth is temporary, the energy of the Supreme Lord is permanent. The earthen pot or water jug may be broken or transformed into another shape, such as that of a dish or bowl. But the ingredient or the material basis, namely the earth, continues to be the same. The basic principle of the cosmic manifestation is always the same, Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. Therefore, the Mayavadi philosopher's theory that it is false is certainly only mental concoction. That the cosmic manifestation is flickering and temporary does not mean that it is false. The definition of falsity, that which never had any existence, but which exists only in name. For instance, the eggs of a horse, or the horn of a rabbit, or the flower in the sky, are phenomena which exist only in name. There are no horse's eggs, there is no rabbit's horn, nor are there flowers growing in the sky. There are many things which exist in name or imagination, but actually have no factual manifestation. Such things may be called false. But the Vaishnava cannot take this material world to be false simply because of its temporary nature, its manifesting and again dissolving. Next section, the distinction between the supersoul and the conditioned individual soul. The personified Vedas continued by saying that the supersoul and the individual soul, or in other words, Paramatma and Jivatma, cannot be equal in any circumstance, although both of them sit within the same body, like two birds sitting in the same tree. As declared in the Vedas, these two birds are sitting as friends and are not equal. One is simply a witness. This bird is Paramatma, the Supersoul, and the other bird is eating the fruit of the tree. That is a Jivatma. When there is cosmic manifestation, the Jivatma, or individual soul, appears in the creation in different forms, according to his or her previous fruitive activities, and due to one's long forgetfulness of real existence. He or she identifies him or herself with a particular form awarded to one by the laws of material nature. After assuming a material form, he or she becomes subject to the three material modes of nature and acts according to continue his or her existence in the material world. While one is enwrapped in such ignorance, one's natural opulences become almost extinct. the opulences of the Supersoul, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, are not diminished, although he appears within this material world. He maintains all opulences and perfections in full, while keeping himself apart from all the tribulations of this material world. The conditioned soul becomes enwrapped in the material world, whereas the Supersoul, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leaves it without being affected, just as a snake sheds its skin. The distinction between the Supersoul and the conditioned individual soul is that the Supersoul, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maintains his natural opulences known as Shuddha Aishvarya, Ashta Siddhi, and Ashta Guna. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, the Mayavadi philosophers forget the fact that Krishna is always full with six opulences, eight transcendental qualities, and eight kinds of perfection. The six opulences are wealth, strength, beauty, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. No one is equal to or greater than Krishna in these six opulences. Next section is called The Analogy of the Forgotten Jewel. The personified Vedas continued, "Dear Lord, if saintly persons do not take to eradicate completely the roots of sinful desires, then they cannot experience the Supersoul, although he is sitting side by side with the individual soul. Samadhi, or meditation, means that one has to find the Supersoul within him or herself. One who is not free from sinful reactions cannot see the Supersoul. If a person has a jeweled locket in one's necklace but forgets the jewel, it is almost as though he does not actually possess it. Similarly, if an individual soul meditates but does not actually perceive the presence of the Supersoul within him or herself, then one has not realized the Supersoul. Srila Prabhupada now comments, "Persons who have taken to the path of self-realization must therefore be very careful to be uncontaminated by the influence of Maya." Srila Rupa Goswami says that the devotee should be completely free from all sorts of material desires. A devotee should not be affected by the results of karma and jnana. One has to simply understand Krishna and carry out his orders. That is the pure devotional stage. The next section is called Krishnarthe Akhila Cheshta. The personified Vedas continued. Mystic yogis, who still have contaminated desires for sense gratification, are never successful in their attempt, nor can they realize the supersoul within the individual self. As such, the so-called yogis and jnanis, who are simply wasting their time in different types of sense gratification, either by mental speculation or by exhibition of limited mystic powers, will never be liberated from conditioned life and will continue to go through repeated births and deaths. For such persons, both this life and the next are sources of tribulation. Such sinful persons are already suffering tribulation in this life, and because they are not perfect in self-realization, they will be plagued with further tribulation in the next life. Despite all endeavors to attain perfection, such yogis, contaminated by desires for sense gratification, will continue to suffer in this life and the next. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that if sannyasis, or persons in the renounced order of life, who have left their homes for self-realization, if they do not engage themselves in devotional service, but become attracted by philanthropic work, such as opening educational institutions, hospitals, or even monasteries, churches, or temples of the demigods, they find only trouble from such engagements, not only in this life, but in the next. Srila Prabhupada now comments, sannyasis who do not take advantage of this life to realize Krishna simply waste their time and energy in activities outside the jurisdiction of the renounced order. A devotee's attempt to engage his or her energies in such activities as constructing a Vishnu temple, however, is never wasted. Such engagements are called Krishnarthe Akhila Cheshta, variegated activities performed to please Krishna. I'll repeat that. Krishnarthe Akhila Cheshta. That means variegated activities performed to please Krishna. A philanthropist opening a school building and a devotee's constructing a temple are not on the same level. Although a philanthropist opening an educational institution may be pious activity, it comes under the laws of karma, whereas constructing a temple for Vishnu is devotional service. Devotional service is never within the jurisdiction of the law of karma, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Devotees of the personality of Godhead transcend all the reactions of the three modes of material nature and are situated on the transcendental platform of Brahman realization. The devotees are liberated both in this life and in the next life. Any work done in this material world for yajna, or Vishnu, or Krishna, is considered to be liberated work. But without connection with Achyuta, or the infallible, supreme personality of Godhead, there is no possibility of stopping the resultant actions of the law of karma. The life of Krishna consciousness is the life of liberation. The conclusion is that a devotee, by the grace of the Lord, is liberated in both this life and the next, whereas karmis, jnanis, and yogis are never liberated, either in this life or in the next. The next reading from Krishna Book, Chapter 87, Prayers by the Personified Vedas, is entitled, The Krishna Consciousness Movement is Based on This Principle. The Personified Vedas continued, Dear Lord, anyone who by your grace has understood the glories of your lotus feet, is callous to both material happiness and material distress. Srila Prabhupada now says, The material pangs are inevitable as long as we exist within the material world. But a devotee does not divert his or her attention to such actions and reactions, which are the results of pious and impious activities. Nor is a devotee very much disturbed or pleased by praise or condemnation by the people in general. A devotee is sometimes greatly praised because of his or her transcendental activities, and sometimes one is criticized even though there is no reason for adverse criticism. The pure devotee, however, is always callous to praise or condemnation by ordinary people. Actually, the devotee's activities are on the transcendental plane. He or she is not interested in the praise or condemnation of people engaged in material activities. If the devotee can thus maintain his or her transcendental position, one's liberation in this life and in the next is guaranteed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee's transcendental position within this material world is maintained in the association of pure devotees. I'm going to repeat that. A devotee's transcendental position within this material world is maintained in the association of devotees. Simply by hearing the glorious activities enacted by the Lord in different ages and in different incarnations. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. So since that's the theme of this section, I'm going to repeat that again. A devotee's transcendental position within this material world is maintained in the association of pure devotees. Simply by hearing the glorious activities enacted by the Lord in different ages and in different incarnations, the Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, My dear Lord, let me be engaged in your transcendental loving service, as indicated by the previous Acharyas, and let me live in the association of pure devotees. That is my desire, life after life. In other words, a devotee does not much care whether or not he or she is liberated. He or she is eager only for devotional service. Devotional service means that one does not do anything independently of the sanction of the Acharyas. The actions of the Krishna consciousness movement are directed by the previous Acharyas, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. In the association of devotees, following these principles, a devotee is able to perfectly maintain his or her transcendental position. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Chatura Vidha Bhajante Bhaṁ Jana Sukritin Arjuna Arto Jigyasur Artharati Gyanicha Bharatarshava Teshang Gyani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate Priyo Hi Gyanino Chiartam Aham Sa Cha Mama Priya. A devotee who knows Krishna and who knows Krishna perfectly is very dear to him. Four kinds of pious men take to devotional service. If a pious man is in distress, he approaches the Lord for mitigation of his distress. If a pious man is in need of material help, he prays to the Lord for such help. If a pious man is actually inquisitive about the science of God, he approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Similarly, a pious man who is simply eager to know the science of Krishna and also approaches the Supreme Lord, out of these four classes of men, the last is praised by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. A person who tries to understand Krishna with full knowledge and devotion by following in the footsteps of the previous Acharyas, conversant with scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord, is praiseworthy. Such a devotee can understand that all conditions of life, favorable and unfavorable, are created by the supreme will of the Lord. And when he or she has fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he or she does not care whether his or her condition of life is favorable or unfavorable. A devotee takes even an unfavorable condition to be the special favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, there are no unfavorable conditions for a devotee. He or she sees everything coming by the will of the Lord as favorable. And in any condition of life, he or she is simply enthusiastic to discharge his or her devotional service. This devotional attitude is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Dukeshvanut vigna mana sukeshu vigata spriya vita raga bhaya kroda stita dhir munir uchite. A devotee is never distressed in reverse conditions of life, nor is he or she overjoyed in favorable conditions. In the higher stages of devotional service, a devotee is not even concerned with the list of do's and do nots. Such a position can be maintained only by following in the footsteps of the Acharyas. Because a pure devotee follows in the footsteps of the Acharyas, any action one performs to discharge devotional service should be understood to be on the transcendental platform. Lord Krishna therefore instructs us that an Acharya is above criticism. A neophyte devotee should not consider him or herself to be on the same plane as the Acharya. It should be accepted that the Acharyas are on the same platform as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, neither Krishna nor his representative Acharya should be subject to any adverse criticism by neophyte devotees. The personified Vedas thus worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different ways, offering worship to the Supreme Lord by praying means remembering his transcendental qualities, pastimes, and activities. But the Lord's pastimes and qualities are unlimited. It is not possible for us to remember all the qualities of the Lord. Therefore, the personified Vedas worship the Lord to the best of their ability, and at the end, they spoke as follows. So that ends part one of today's class. I'm going to take a short little break, and then I will have a concert. And then after the concert, I will have another class on the Sri Govinda Lilamrita. So I'll play some Prabhupada bhajan for you during this short intermission. And when I come back, then we will have the concert, which is part two of three parts.